But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is the Living Waters Broadcast.
In the Bible, we read a story that Jesus told one day, and we're going to take a look at it. Let's read the story. Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes up to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humble, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus tells us the story here of two men who went up to the temple to pray. Obviously, both men believed in God, and both were going to a good place to do a good thing. One man was highly religious, and he took his religion very seriously. He was called a Pharisee, and he tells God here in his prayer how good he was. How does he pray? He prays, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. He didn't commit adultery. He was faithful to his wife. He was not an extortioner or unjust. He was honest in his dealings with other people. He fasted twice a week. That's not something that is easy to do, to fast, to go without food, but he did it twice a week. What do you think about this man? Do you think that he is on his way to heaven? Let's now take a look at the other man. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This man was a tax collector. They were notorious for being dishonest and swindlers. They were hated and despised by the masses of people. They were considered the worst of the worst. We see that he stands afar off. He is so ashamed of himself that he will not even lift his eyes up to heaven. He hangs his head in shame. He then beats on his breast because he is so consumed by his guilt. How does he pray? He only prays seven words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He doesn't cite one good work that he has done. He doesn't pray and tell God how good he is like the other man. He asks for mercy. He confesses that he is a sinner, that he has fallen short, that he is guilty, very guilty of having broken God's law. The question now is, what does Jesus say about each man? Does he commend the first man for all the good deeds that he has done and the good person he says he is? Does he condemn the second man for all of his sins? One day I was talking with a man about these things, and the man told me that he was tied with God. I asked him what he meant by saying that he was tied with God. He told me that 2 days ago he had done something bad. Yesterday he had done something good, and he was tied with God. He had a good thing, and he had a bad thing. He then told me he was going to do a good thing tomorrow, and that way he would be fine with God because he would have more good things than bad things. What do you think? Do honest judges in this world operate this way? Does a judge who applies the law in an honest way operate this way? Does a judge who is honest tell a guilty person that if he robbed yesterday, if he gives something to someone today, it will be fine? I think we know the answer. It would seem to us that the first man in the story of Jesus would be on his way to heaven. because on the surface it looks like he has many more good things than bad things. On the surface, it looks like the second man had more bad things than good things, and he would go to hell. Jesus gives us the clue to the story in verse 9 when he says, "He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt." He told this story to people who were trusting in themselves because they thought they were good. You see, they were full of pride, thinking they were good when in reality they were not, because in Romans 3:23 we read, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The first man thought he was good because he was comparing himself with others that didn't do the things he did, that did things he didn't do. He needed to compare himself to the Lord Jesus, as Peter did when he said, "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" Peter had seen the perfectness of Jesus and knew that he had never sinned. Peter was conscious of the fact that he had sinned many times in his thoughts, in his desires, that his very nature was sinful, and that he had committed numerous sins of omission. I think that I have mentioned here before the story of a little boy who told his mother that he was 3 meters tall. He was only about a meter tall, and she asked him how that was. He told her that he had invented his own ruler, and that by his own ruler, he was 3 meters tall. We can do the same thing by inventing our own ruler or our own standard and not using the Word of God. That's what the first man was doing. He thought that he was fine because he didn't commit certain outward sins that the second man had committed. He was overlooking his thoughts, his desires, his sinful attitudes, his pride. He thought he was better. The second man asks for mercy. He confesses his sin. He is honest before God. He is not comparing himself with others he thinks that are worse than he is. He asked for mercy, and Jesus gave him mercy. And Jesus says that he was forgiven, and he went down from the temple as a forgiven and a saved man. The other man did not. Jesus says that he will have mercy and not sacrifice. We all need mercy. Jesus died on the cross for sinners, for their sins, so that God may offer mercy to guilty sinners such as you and I. My friend, do you see that you have fallen short? Do you see that you need mercy? Do you see that you deserve the judgment of God because you have fallen short, as I have also? King David confessed in one of the Psalms that his sins were more than the hairs of his head. They tell me that the average person has 140,000 hairs on his head. I know some have more and some have less. But if there's an average of 140,000 hairs on a head, David is saying, my sins are more than 140,000. He's using an example to help us understand the enormity of his sin. And my friend, you and I would have to confess and say the same thing if we are honest. Our sins also are more than the hairs of our head. We also need mercy. We need mercy in a way that we don't truly comprehend or understand. We need mercy. We're in great need of mercy, and God offers us mercy today. Have you asked the Lord to be merciful to you, a sinner, like the second man in the story? Have you confessed your sins to the Lord? Have you thanked him for having sent his son, Jesus, to a cross to die for your sins? My friend, it's time to do so today. It's time to ask for forgiveness for your rebellion and surrender to the Lord Jesus. Renounce your rebellion and confess your sins, asking the Lord to have mercy on you as he did on the man in the story. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ who shed his blood for you on the cross for your sins and surrender your life to him. That second man went up to the temple that day with a heavy, heavy burden, a burden of guilt, a burden of condemnation, a burden of his sinfulness. He wasn't even worthy to lift his head up and look up toward heaven. He was so consumed by his guilt and burdened by his guilt that he beat himself on the chest. When he prayed, he didn't tell God how good he was. When he prayed, he didn't tell God how many good works he had done. But Jesus said, that man who asked God for mercy received mercy that day. And that man went away that day, pardoned. He went home that day without his guilt, without his burden. Instead of coming with sadness, he went away with joy. Instead of coming with a burden, he went away relieved. Instead of coming feeling condemned, he went away knowing that he was enjoying the wonderful mercy and pardon of God. My friend, the first man who told God how good he was, who told God all the good things he had done, was really just trusting in himself. He was full of pride, thinking himself to be better because he maybe hadn't done certain things the second man had done. But in his heart, he was full of pride. He had also fallen short. And my friend, you and I have fallen short. And you and I have great need today of the mercy of God. And God today offers mercy to the sinner who is willing to confess his sin, to the sinner who is willing to abandon his rebellion, to the sinner who is willing to come back to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, what a wonderful thing to be forgiven. What a wonderful thing to have the assurance that you know that you're going to heaven. We don't know when death may come. It could come today, tomorrow, or in 50 years. But it's a wonderful thing to know that when that day comes, I know I will be with him in paradise. Jesus said to the thief on the cross that was dying beside him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." What a wonderful thing to have that assurance, to know in your heart, as you're surrounded by others who may be around your deathbed as you lie dying, to be able to say and to know, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." To die is gain. And my friend, that can be true for you. My desire is today that you come to Jesus, wherever you are, that you would kneel before him and confess your sins to him, that you would ask him to be merciful to you as he was that day with the man in the temple who asked for mercy, to tell him that you're renouncing your rebellion and you're turning to him to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior.
This has been the Living Waters Broadcast. If you'd like to reach us, send us an email at spiv6327@bellsouth.net. That's spiv6327@bellsouth.net.